Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Forensic Radelet's FMLA Insights podcast. This is episode number 17, recording on Tuesday, October 26, 2010. I'm Bill Picorni, and I'm here with my partner, Jeff Novak.
Hello, everyone.
For those of you who are new to our podcast, Forensic Radelet is a management side labor and employment law firm of about 50 attorneys. We're located in Chicago, but we represent clients across the country. We represent a wide range of employers, from major corporations with household names to small family businesses to school districts and municipalities. For more information about our firm, you can visit us online at www.franzic.com. So in the last few editions of our FMLA podcast, we've been walking you step by step through the FMLA process. We started with eligibility and designation notices and moved on to medical certifications, and then when and in what circumstances you can contact an employee's doctor directly about the certification that you've received. Today we're going to turn our focus to the next step in the process, which is recertification. Now, when we talk about recertification, it's important to distinguish some basic concepts. When an employee first asks for FMLA leave and hasn't yet given you a certification for the current leave year, you can ask for an initial medical certification. And we, again, covered that in our previous podcasts. Also, if an employee's leave extends past the end of the current leave year, you get to ask for a new certification. And that's also considered an initial certification, not a recertification. So not exactly what we're going to be talking about today. So just so you can understand what that is, say you have an employee who's certified for intermittent leave for, say, migraine headaches. It's permanent or at least an indefinite condition. And you're using a rolling leave year. So the employee first takes leave for this reason on April 1, 2010. And they bring in a certification in advance of that leave or provide a certification after the fact. Now, that certification is good through the end of March of 2011. It's good for the current leave year, the 12-month period ending after the first day that the employee uses leave. Any leave that the employee takes on or after April 1 of 2010, the new leave year, you can ask for a new initial certification. And if you're using a calendar year period, the same thing would apply. In this case, you'd be able to ask for a new certification as of January 1st because that's when the new year rolls over. It really depends on what your policy says as far as how you're defining that 12-month leave year. But suppose that you want to check on the employee's continuing need for leave before that new leave year rolls over and you get to ask for that new initial certification. Then we're talking about recertification. So, Jeff, can you walk us through the basic rules for when you can request that recertification?
Sure. As a general rule, keep in mind that employers generally can seek recertification every 30 days so long as it's in conjunction with an absence. And that latter part is important to remember. So, basic rule, every 30 days in conjunction with an absence. So, if, for instance, I have an employee, Joe, who has medical certification on file. It's past 30 days. So long as Joe isn't absent beyond those 30 days, I can't walk up to Joe on the assembly line and say, "Hey, Joe, I'm sending you out for recertification." That recertification must take place, must be in conjunction with an actual absence relating to that serious health condition. But as a general rule, every 30 days in conjunction with an absence. And there are plenty of exceptions to that. So think neon light, exception. The first major exception is if the medical certification that you've received indicates that the duration of the condition is more than 30 days. So I'm talking specifically about the medical certification form, Part A, that answer to question number one that the healthcare provider answers as to the duration of the condition. So what do I mean by that? So, and the regulations actually give us a good example. For instance, if the medical certification states that the employee will be unable to work, whether it's continuously as a block leave or intermittently for, let's say, 40 days, the employer must wait the 40 days before seeking recertification. let me make a special note about those situations where you receive medical certification that indicates the employee has a lifetime serious health condition. We've all received these kinds of certifications before. An employee who, let's say, has a migraine or a chronic bad back, and the physician writes in the duration of the condition as lifetime or forever. We've all dealt with these situations. In those cases, under the new regulations, you can obtain recertification every 6 months in conjunction with an absence. That's a change in the regulations. So recertification requirements for more than 30 days apply in situations, again, where the duration indicates that it's longer than 30 days or where you have situations such as a lifetime condition. On the flip side, an employer can seek recertification in fewer than 30 days for a couple of situations. One, where an employee requests an extension of leave. So let's imagine a situation where an employee has obtained medical certification that indicates he or she'll be out for the next 2 weeks. The employee contacts you at the end of 2 weeks and says, I need another week or I need an additional time off. At that point, you can immediately seek recertification because the employee is asking for an extension of FMLA leave. Another situation might be occasions when circumstances have changed. So you've got a difference in the duration or the frequency of the absence. The nature or the severity of the illness of the serious health condition has changed. And a common example of that is where you have an employee with intermittent leave situation, chronic condition, let's say migraine headaches, and the initial certification indicates that the employee might need 1 to 2 days off per month because of that condition. Well, let's say the employee immediately starts taking more than 1 to 2 days off. At that point, you can immediately seek recertification because the duration, the absences appear to be inconsistent with what the healthcare provider has provided for in the initial certification. So in that instance where circumstances have changed, the employer has the right to seek recertification. And finally, an employer can obtain recertification in fewer than 30 days where you receive information that casts doubt upon the employee's stated reason for his or her FMLA absence. So if you receive reliable information that the employee, for instance, is engaging in activities that appear to be inconsistent with the stated reason for leave, the employer at that point has the right to seek recertification, even though the 30 days have not run.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. So the question, once you're able to request recertification, what does that look like? The rules are pretty simple, and basically the recertification, the content of the recertification is essentially the same as the content that you can ask for in the initial certification. And in fact, you use the very same certification form, either the Department of Labor form or a form that's requesting essentially the same information as that form. Now, as with the initial certification, the employee is obligated to provide you and to return a complete and sufficient certification signed by a healthcare provider, and it's the same list of healthcare providers that can provide that initial certification as defined in the rules. And as with the initial certification, the recertification is at the employee's expense. The timing is also the same as with respect to the initial certification, in that you have to give the employee at least 15 days after receipt of your request to return that complete and sufficient certification to you. And of course, as with the initial certification, if it's not practicable for the employee to do that, despite their diligent and good faith efforts, you've got to provide them with a reasonable amount of additional time. Now, that 15-day period leads to some questions about when the clock starts for purposes of figuring out, as Jeff discussed, when you can actually request recertification again. To illustrate the problem, let's run through this little scenario. Suppose you have an employee who's certified in advance for FMLA leave beginning on April 1st. The employee is still on leave at the end of the month, and the employer asks for a recertification on May 1st. The employee returns a recertification on May 10th. Now, does the employer have to wait until June 9th to ask for a new certification? Or can you request it on May 31st? In other words, is it the employee returning the certification to you that triggers that 30-day period? Or is it your request? Well, the regulations aren't exactly a model of clarity on this point, but it seems to be, if you look at the language of the regulations, the period seems to be tied to the date of the employer's request, not the date that the employee returns the certification. So, in other words, even if the employee drags his or her feet on getting that certification back to you, that doesn't necessarily extend the amount of time that you have to wait before asking for a new certification. Now, the one important area that where recertifications differ from the initial certification is that you cannot ask for a second and third opinion. In other words, once you've designated leave as FMLA leave, once you've accepted that initial certification, or you've gone through the second or third opinion process on that initial certification and the leave was approved as a result of that, you don't again have the opportunity to challenge the certification that you're getting back from the employee's healthcare provider. So that's one of the reasons it's important to distinguish between whether you're asking for a new initial certification in a new leave year versus a recertification, and you should use the appropriate terminology when you're making those requests. I've had some clients get those concepts confused, and while it's not necessarily a deal killer, if you then need to take action against an employee follow up on a leave request, it does complicate the situation and may make your position weaker down the road. Now, one thing you can do with recertification requests is you can, as you would with the initial certification, contact the healthcare provider to authenticate or request clarification on the certification once you've gone through the process with the employee to give them an opportunity to correct any deficiencies in the certification that you've identified. And one other wrinkle we want to point out with respect to recertifications, that's, again, this is not explicitly mentioned for initial certifications, and it's something we recommend you do if you have this situation. Suppose you have an employee whose absence history looks kind of suspect. In other words, the employee is certified for intermittent leave, maybe a couple days a week or a couple days a month, but as it happens, the employee is taking either far more work time than expected in the initial certification, or for some reason they seem to have their migraines only on Friday. You can include a copy of the employee's attendance record with the certification and ask the healthcare provider if the need for leave is consistent with that pattern. And that can be very helpful in addressing those situations. Again, you're somewhat limited in that you're asking the employee's healthcare provider to confirm that this is consistent with the employee's leave, and by and large, they're going to do what makes the employee happy as opposed to the employer, but at least it provides you with some check on that kind of behavior. Now, remember, the recertification process that we're talking about today applies only to leave for the employee's family, for the employee's serious health condition or a family member's serious health condition, and it does not apply to qualifying exigency leave for military family members, nor to leave to care for a covered service member. But in those cases where it is available, it's important to understand what's available to you in terms of recertification and when appropriate to go ahead and use that tool.
Bill, a common question that we receive from our clients, the questions I get back on after our client has received an initial medical certification form is, again, with respect to Part A, question number one on duration. So the doctor will indicate that the condition started on, let's say, September 1st, and when asked for the probable duration of the condition, the physician says unknown. We run into this issue all of the time, and our clients ask, at what point can I obtain recertification? This employee, for instance, has been out for some period of time. They've been out for more than 30 days. The doctor has told me it's unknown as to whether they're when they're going to come back and how long the duration is going to last. When can I seek recertification? Here, I think this is where the 30-day rule applies. The doctor has effectively given us no duration whatsoever. So I would encourage employers that after the 30 days have run, that if the employee is still absent, so long as it's in conjunction with an absence, that you go ahead and seek recertification. You have every right to do so under the regulations.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Well, that's our podcast for today. We really do appreciate all of you who listen, and particularly those who listen to us on a regular basis. And we greatly value the feedback that we receive from you. If you do wish to get back to us, if you have a question, or if you'd like to propose a topic for a future podcast or blog post, our blog is at fmlainsights.com, and you can leave a comment there. Or you can reach us via email at fmla@franzic.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.
This podcast is a free production of Franzic Radlett. Franzic Radlett's podcast and website are intended for general informational purposes only and are not legal advice. While we encourage your feedback, please do not send us any confidential information unless you are a client of our firm, as your communications with us may not be privileged.